I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I appreciate you joining me today. Next hour, it is Wednesday, so next hour we will get into what we do every Wednesday, which is Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I try to arm people with some information to take control of their health. Today we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about leaky gut. I think I may have broached this before, but I've got some information on that. It sounds to me, and the research that I've done over the past week, sounds like a lot of people have it. And if you are eating the SAD diet, that is the standard American diet, you probably do, and it's wrecking your health. I've got a quote from an MD of 30 years of experience who explains, doctors don't really know anything about this. They haven't been taught about it. They don't understand that this is the root cause of problems that people have. So these conditions manifest themselves in certain ways, but it's never tied back to the fact that you're getting a bunch of junk from your diet is actually entering your bloodstream when it should not be and wreaking havoc on your life. So we'll talk a little bit about that next hour. This hour, Steve Kirsch gets our quote of the day today. He's written a piece. He's an engineer. He's really been following the COVID story and the experimental shot rollout here. And he said, collecting more negative data on the vaccine isn't going to change anything. The problem is getting people to consider the possibility that they have been fooled. He says, there's an old saying, quote, it's easier to fool people than to convince them that they have been fooled. This was, I believe, a Mark Twain quote. Unfortunately, I base my entire show trying to on convincing people that they've been fooled, but fooled by political parties, fooled by a financial system, fooled by the medical establishment. So I'm jogging uphill on this show, I guess, every single day. It's exhausting. Maybe I should switch sides and just try to fool people. Seems like that's easier than trying to convince them they've been fooled. But Steve Kirsch goes on to say, that's what we're up against. We have the data, but nobody we want to convince wants to look at it. He's got a very interesting piece. he publishes on Substack. You can find K-I-R-S-C-H if you're inclined to try to find him, or you can subscribe to his Substack like I do. And it's just got a lot of interesting things to say about it. But that's where we are now. I think we've kind of bumped up into that area where it doesn't matter how many facts you've got out there. I would imagine even with this radio show and maybe the entire radio station, those who refuse to look at any of the data, to refuse to admit that they might have been tricked into doing something, have long since left this radio station. We're not convincing a lot of people to go off and do their own research. Now, this is politically, too, for the vast majority of people, and I know this, as I say, I struggle against it every day, they don't want to be told that they got something wrong. This is why I try to come out and talk about how wrong I've been in the past. It's not there's no shame, there's no stigma, there's no nothing. We've all been wrong. I'm sure I'm wrong about something today, and I'll discover it in a few years, but people do not want to be told that they have been tricked. Speaking of being tricked, today's going to be an interesting day. The Federal Reserve is poised to raise interest rates again today. Prediction, it will make next to no difference in inflation because they are the rates that they're even discussing. The question today is, are they going to raise by 0.75% or 1% itself? 75 basis points or 100 basis points, 100 basis points being a full percent. That's really the question now. This is still going to put our interest rates significantly below the rate of inflation. So real interest rates are still negative. And when you have negative interest rates, that is inflationary. They have no intention of getting up to 9-10% interest rates where they need to be in order to tamp down this inflation, because they know that will cause the country's economy to come to a screeching halt. So they are really doing a bunch of nothing. It's going to be a whole lot of commentary on it. Markets will react, but it will make absolutely no difference to the inflation that we're experiencing. So anyway, it's pretty amazing that as bad as the Fed has screwed up, as bad as the Fed being in charge of money printing and facilitating horrific government spending, the worse they have screwed the working people in this country. And by working people, I mean everybody from the working poor to the middle class to the upper middle class, people who actually have to put on a pair of shoes and iron a shirt to go to work every day. As bad as they have screwed those people, they are on the cusp of getting even more power. And this is in terms of the central bank digital currency. It's kind of like the CDC. I still have not seen numbers. I'm expecting the CDC budgets to have gone up significantly since they botched everything surrounding COVID. Every piece of advice that came out of the Centers for Disease Control, they really should just change the name, but every piece of advice that came out of them was wrong. So I would imagine, because it's government work, they will be rewarded with more money and bigger budgets. The term fail forward is never more apparent than it is when it comes to government stuff. But the Gateway Pundit has a story when it comes to the Fed about these central bank digital currencies. And understand, central bank, they'll call them the CBDCs. That's what they'll be calling them. Understand that the CB is central bank, and that is our Federal Reserve. These are going to happen all over the world. In other countries, they're called the Bank of England. Everybody has their own central banks. We've all been captured by this financial elite. But these CBDCs, of course, the Gateway Pundit puts out their story and they couch it in a partisan way. I mean, Gateway Pundit is a pro-Trump, pro-Republican conservative website. So they only talk about the dangers of central bank digital currencies to conservatives. They play the partisan game. They play the two-party theater. And they talk about the fact that central bank digital currencies will be used to silence critics of the Biden regime should these things roll out while the Democrats are in charge. But it's a shame that that's the way that they cover this. It's not a surprise. Gateway Pundit, as I said, it's a very partisan website. They do some good work. I mean, there's certainly stories on Gateway Pundit that I would agree with. My problem always with conservative media is the other half of the information that they leave out. The abuses of the American people at the hands of the Republican Party occur just as well. The Gateway Pundit doesn't seem to get around to those. This is why I think if you travel exclusively on partisan or conservative websites, you're missing a big piece of the puzzle. That's what I tried to fill in here. But everybody, should we go the route of central bank digital currencies, if this becomes the new currency of the land, everybody will be affected. If Republicans were in charge and that we had a central bank digital currency, I can guarantee you they would target the anti-war people. They would target some of the anti-corporate people. They would target dissenters. There's absolutely no doubt about this. A central bank digital currency would be one of the most effective weapons that a government could ever have, because if you understand what they are proposing when it comes to central bank digital currencies, you understand your entire financial life is tied into this one account, everything you do. They would be able to turn you off. There will be no cash transactions, ultimately. Oh, they might allow us to have both at first. Once you get used to the central bank digital currency and everybody's used to using it, you're comfortable. Most people are already okay with the cashless society because, as they say, well, I don't really carry cash anyway. But once you get comfortable with those CBDCs and they get rid of cash transactions, when you go to sell that gun, Yet you don't want a record of it through a central bank digital currency, you will be targeted as well. It's a shame that Gateway Pundit does not let everybody understand that it is not just about the Biden regime. These central bank digital currencies have been in the works for quite a while. They've been talked about for quite a while. And any government that gets control of these things would certainly use them against anybody that they saw as a threat to their power, to their existence. And so, as I say, it's a shame that stuff is so couched in partisan terms, because this is where we could do some real education, and it would be much better if we had 330 million people on the same page when it comes to central bank digital currencies, not just, you know, 20, 30 million people who think that it's just a tool of the left of oppression, but actually understood the true danger of these things. But anyway, we're a politically sick society, and I've got a story when I come back about that exactly. Politics has invaded everything, even our perceptions of what is going on around us, just the facts on the ground. Politics has colored all of these things. There is no common ground between people. It depends on what your team, what your tribe says is the truth. So we're going to take a look at a story about that that is really, it's just bizarre. I'm fascinated with human nature. I should be a psychologist. I'm trying to figure out what is going on in the brains of peoples these days. I'll be right back. I don't know if this is ironic or not. I don't know. I do political talk radio, I guess, if you put a label on what I do, yet I abhor politics in general. I think it is a destructive force. Now, building coalitions and, you know, doing things with other people who might have slightly different ideas is really kind of the nature of politics, but it's the partisanship itself is something that I just rail against here. One of the reasons that I became a libertarian is because I just realized, you know, and I don't know why this is a big leap, but I thought, you know, really should, if a bunch of people in California get together and elect a Maxine Waters and a Nancy Pelosi, does that mean that I should live by the rules set by the people who were elected by people 2,000 miles away? It doesn't really seem to make sense to me. It really doesn't. So this is an apolitical show. I think partisanship itself, because the way I see it, and I'm different than others. Look, I'm on the record. I want to see a red wave in November. We are where we are. We've got the system that we've got for now, and the Democrats need to be stopped. They just need to be stopped. So I'm all on board with the red wave. Let's hope that that happens. I will say prayers that there is a red wave. That being said, I also believe that conservatives have been duped by right-wing politicians, and leftists and Democrats have been duped by left-wing politicians. And I do a lot of stories that show how everything affects all of us. We're all getting screwed by the same people. And so the partisanship is really, at this point to me, it's immature. But politics has invaded everything, even our perceptions. We will ignore all reality if it does not suit our politics. And I was trying to think back, was there ever a time that I lived like that? Back in the 1990s, when I was a very partisan Republican, I took my talking points from the Sunday morning Fox show and took them out with me armed like I was an intelligent human being, and I regurgitated whatever Trent Lott said on Sunday for the rest of the week. And then I waited till the next Sunday to figure out what else I thought. But I don't know that I ever ignored reality. Of course, reality was not as stark and bizarre as it is right now. But the reason I mentioned this, there was a story from the Epoch Times. Inflation is hitting hard at the grocery store and crushing the budgets of millions, yet not everyone is complaining about rising prices to the same degree. A new study revealed that the way Americans feel about food inflation depends on their political views. Survey by Purdue University's Center for Food Demand Analysis and Sustainability discovered that liberals and conservatives have different perceptions of rising costs. Liberals are way too optimistic about food inflation according to the survey conducted among 1,200 people from all over the United States. Compared to conservatives, liberals say they've experienced less food price increase over the past year, and they foresee less food price inflation in the future. It's interesting to observe, quote, the divergent perceptions of food inflation between liberals and conservatives. That's according to Jason Lusk. He was the head of this study. Quote, not only are liberals severely underestimating the increase in food prices from last year, but conservative expectations for inflation are also likely overstating its rate for the coming year, at least compared to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's predictions. Now, conservatives, you're right. I don't think you're overestimating. And I do believe that the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is just a political office, it's a political agency in a Biden regime. They are the ones that are downplaying it, but they're just doing it to, you know, to slowly boil the frog in a pot. You don't want to tell them how hot it's going to get. You just want to let them just sit in it. But nevertheless, conservatives and liberals share some common ground when it comes to spending. For example, based on the survey data collected between January and August, liberals think food price inflation has been 6% for the past 12 months compared to conservatives who said 9%. In addition, liberals think food prices will go up by 3% over the next 12 months, while conservatives think it will rise by 7%. And all of these predictions by both liberals and conservatives are less than what's going to happen and less than even recent official figures, which just shows you very few people actually want to live in reality when it's scary. They want to just pretend it's not happening. But, you know, so two different people, one who is opposed to the current regime sees inflation as high, and they target and blame the current administration for all this inflation. Of course, that's just simply not true. This is a consequence of decades, but particularly the last 13, 14 years of money printing, and really the last 2.5 years of intense money printing. But most people can't see that. They want to blame it on the other side, or they want to excuse their side. Liberals want to pretend. They just want to pretend that the vaccine works and inflation is low. And it's really a strange thing to see. This is how politics has invaded our brains and distorted our own ability to think, to see reality. People see it through a red or blue lens. Now, a lot of conservatives can see right through this, and they'll laugh at the liberals who are ignoring the reality because they refuse to admit that their guys are in charge right now and have made this mess. Now, if you are a Democrat or a liberal, you don't really have to blame Biden. You can actually say, yeah, Biden's terrible, but so was Trump when it comes to spending and money printing, and so was Obama. You can understand it was the political class that did this to you, not necessarily one party or the other. It's them hand in hand doing this to you. So liberals instead just decide to pretend there isn't a mess. This is, I guess, what they've been doing in Jackson for the last 30 years. I mean, we've gotten to the point where Joe Biden believes that he can get away with, in front of his supporters, just redefining a recession, just pretending it doesn't exist, even though we have had the 2 quarters of negative growth. He knows that his supporters will not believe the truth right in front of him. But the right can be just as guilty of this, and this is where I tread on less popular ground. To this day, Republicans will say that Donald Trump had the greatest economy in the history of this country, because that's a line that is often repeated by Donald Trump himself. There is absolutely zero basis in fact for that thinking. There is zero basis in fact. There's not a number out there from the Trump economy, while better than it is now, because we had not suffered through COVID, the restrictions that started with Donald Trump's own emergency order, but we hadn't suffered through COVID, and the inflation had not reached the retail level yet. So the Trump economy was better, but it is by no means anywhere close to the best economy the United States has ever had. Yet conservatives and Trump supporters will tell you straight to your face, he had the best economy ever. There's not a single number. I don't care if it's the unemployment rate. I don't care if it's the labor force participation rate. I don't care if it's our trade deficit. I don't care if it's our debt. I don't care if it's our GDP. There is not one single number during Donald Trump's term in office that stacks up with many other years during a growing economy back in the 50s, 60s, and even heading into the 70s before inflation was released there as well. There's not a single number that bears out that Donald Trump had the greatest economy the U.S. had ever seen, yet it is just repeated. It is just said. And I defy you to find a number that is the best it ever was. I mean a single number. I'm not even talking about in totality. But there's not a single number. So everybody is blinded by politics when it comes to this stuff. Easy to see how liberals will refuse to admit of the mess that is going on while Biden's in office. But it is equally easy to me to see, as an observer, the delusion that Trump supporters lived under during his term and still to this day believe his words that he had the greatest economy ever. What is true also, this was interesting, a new report from Credit Suisse has found that individuals with assets worth more than $50 million, referred to as the ultra-high net worth, these individuals spiked to a record high last year. Credit Suisse's Global Wealth Report, published on Tuesday, found that the number of ultra-high net worth individuals globally grew by 46,000 in 2021 to a total of 218,200. This is a story on the Hill. As low to middle income families struggled to cope with the recent soaring food and energy prices, many ultra-rich individuals benefited from the rising housing prices and a thriving stock market. Meanwhile, families saw most of their savings wiped away due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Of course, it was not due to the pandemic. It was due to the response to the pandemic. But the sentence, this is how they always say it. They always blame the pandemic. It had absolutely nothing to do with the virus. It had to do with the hysteria surrounding the virus. Meanwhile, families saw most of their savings wiped away due to the COVID-19 pandemic, leading them to incur higher debt. Quote, the strong rise in financial assets resulted in an increase in inequality in 2021, the report said, stating that, quote, the global wealth inequality has fallen this century due to the faster growth achieved in emerging markets. 46,000 ultra-high net worth individuals also saw their wealth double by 50% within this last two-year period. So, while you Republicans and Democrats, you may not want to admit what you're paying at the grocery store, what you're paying for everything now. It's too uncomfortable to admit that your guy's not going to fix anything for you. While you refuse to admit these things, the simple fact of the matter is that another 46,000 people who have access to all this phony money, these are this financial elite, as I say, this is the 0.01% of humanity, their net worth to the stratosphere. Americans dying surrounded with debt. This is the us versus them. You think it's Republican versus Democrat? Nah. It's going to be an interesting day when people finally wake up and realize what the partisanship have cost you. It's going to be. It should have already happened, but at some point, people will realize, oh my God, we've all been sold out. I'll be right. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Should you doubt me now, and most do, that there is, you got to be in this fight. You got to join your tribe. It's Republicans versus Democrats, conservatives versus liberals. You're all about to be treated to what appears to be shaping up as World War III. The proxy war of the West, led by the United States against Russia, is now heating up. It's been kind of simmering. A lot of talk in the press about these grand victories by Ukraine against some of Russia's territory. I don't know where the truth lies there. It seems to me, I've tried to read as many things as I can from as many partisan's not the word, objective sources, and it seems that Russia has suffered losses, more losses than it thought, but it is not it's not losing the war to the degree that they are trying to convince you of. You know, this reminds me of the education department. They always tell you, just it's about 10% more money, and we're really going to get this education system fixed. And that's the game that's being run in Ukraine. Oh, they're on the cusp of victory if we just send them a few more weapons, 30, 40 billion more dollars. I think we're going to win this thing. That's not what's going to happen. You know, what you're going to find, Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, that you're all on the losing end of what could potentially be World War III. Putin announced last night in a speech that he is going to be bringing up more troops, maybe about 300,000. I saw the analysis of an American that's living in Ukraine. He's got a Ukrainian wife, a guy from Texas, and he expects very big Russian moves this week. And that certainly looks to be the case as Putin made his national address last night, as I said, up to potentially 300,000 new troops. And what appears to be happening is that Ukraine has made some territorial gains in eastern Ukraine, maybe during the, I think it's the Donetsk region. And this is actually getting closer and closer to the borders of Russia. Russia can no longer play around. Their special military operation was what I would imagine will be seen in history as the kinder, gentler invasion of Ukraine. Even if 60,000 Ukrainian troops have died and up to 300,000, it sounds like, have been injured on the battlefield, this was Russia just trying to go in and secure these areas and take away the military capabilities of the Ukrainians. Instead of that happening, NATO has flooded Ukraine with money and weapons. And this is why I tell you, this is not just the Biden camp doing this. You've heard Roger Wicker say the only thing he's had a problem with when it comes to sending money to Ukraine is we didn't send it fast enough and we didn't send enough. Republicans are at the tip of the spear when it comes to this proxy war against Russia. And it was our own Donald Trump who originally sent the lethal weapons being used in this war into Ukraine. Now, Barack Obama did. It's interesting to watch. They all play their parts. Obama actually overthrew his State Department, the most evil institution on planet Earth, in 2014. Obama's State Department overthrows the Russia-friendly government of Ukraine. There were no issues. There was no threat of World War III back in 2014, but Obama couldn't have that. The West couldn't have that. The people behind Obama couldn't have that. And so they overthrew the government in Kiev. But they didn't really have the weapons to prosecute any kind of war against Russia until Donald Trump came along. And then he was the finisher there. He started supplying lethal weapons to Ukraine, which are now being used against Russian troops. And the more Russian troops you kill with Trump's provided weapons, and now, of course, Biden has put that on steroids, providing more weapons and more money. And now enough Russians have died and Russia's having a difficult enough time that they are now mobilizing 300,000 troops. We don't like to talk about what Vladimir Putin is saying. The Western media and even the Western politicos, if Putin or one of his spokespeople comes up to something like the UN, they leave. They don't even want to hear what they have to say. They act like this is beneath them to hear what Russia's concerns are. At the cusp of World War III, we're not engaging diplomatically at all with the other side. Joe Biden will stumble and bumble our way, and he doesn't know what's going on. And he's maybe got another couple of good years left anyway. What does he care? What does he care? How many of you conservatives and liberals, how many of you Republicans and Democrats end up having your life completely altered by what goes on next? He's at the sunset of his life. He doesn't care and may not know what's going on in the first place. In a nationwide address that was delayed from its primetime Tuesday delivery ahead of votes in four Ukraine regions to join Russia, on Wednesday morning, Russian President Vladimir Putin announced a partial military mobilization while vowing to use all means necessary to defend Russia and pledged to annex the territories already occupied by Russia, raising the stakes in the seven-month-old conflict. Putin called the moves, quote, urgent, necessary steps to defend the sovereignty, security, and territorial integrity of Russia. Putin said that Russia is fighting the full might of NATO, the U.S., and its allies, he said, are seeking to destroy Russia. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. This is a proxy war against Russia, has been since Barack Obama launched it in 2014. And then Trump set in the weapons to make sure that this war could happen. And now Joe Biden is taking us straight to World War III. So Putin's pulling up more people. this is about to get substantially worse. In his speech, Putin accused Kiev of backing away from peace talks, acting on direct orders from its Western allies. Instead of negotiating, the Ukrainian government has beefed up its military with NATO-trained troops, many of whom are neo-Nazi extremists, he said. Putin also accused the West of using nuclear blackmail. That's a quote, quote, nuclear blackmail against Russia, noting that, quote, if its territorial integrity is threatened, Russia will definitely use all the means at its disposal to defend Russian territory. This is not a bluff. Now, I got to tell you, I didn't take Russia's intentions with Ukraine seriously. I thought his putting troops on the border of Ukraine was a bluff. Turns out it wasn't. But we are going to keep pushing Russia and keep pushing Russia until we probably end up in some level of a nuclear exchange. The way things are going right now, I always feel like we're always going to stop before the worst happens, but they are pushing us right to the line. As I said, there is absolutely no diplomatic stuff going on right now. There was an effort a month into this war to stop it. Zelensky, Ukraine, was open to peace talks, acknowledging some level of autonomy for some of these breakaway regions in Ukraine that want to be with Russia. And Boris Johnson, the conservative Boris Johnson from the UK, came over and said, oh, no, you're not doing a peace deal with Russia. We want this war. This is why I am telling you, this adherence, this belief that conservatives are going to save you, is just absolutely wrong-headed. They may not destroy you in the same way the Democrats want to destroy you. They all have their different ways of trying to destroy the average American and our way of life here. They've been quite successful at it on both arms, through monetary policy, through foreign policy. They both have their ways. We are just now picking our path to destruction, but it is largely conservatives driving this train right hand in hand with the Biden administration. And I'm going to take a break and come back and issue a false flag alert. I typically would save this one for Friday, but with Putin's speech this morning and what we're seeing with troop buildups and what Putin is saying about it is not a bluff to use nuclear weapons, I think I'm going to go ahead and come out with this now in case it happens before my show on Friday. I'll be right back. You can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. We're the renegades, it is atomic age. All right. None of us want to think that a war will actually go nuclear. We've heard these kinds of threats before. The most ridiculous of all of them was this North Korea, this talking point that North Korea, for some reason, we're treated to this about every 2 or 3 years. Now, COVID kind of took that off the table, but about every 2 to 3 years, we got news stories that North Korea was just about to launch a nuclear weapon, and they've got new technology, and now it can reach, you know, Hawaii, or it can reach mainland United States. And so these things never happen. In the case of North Korea, I've brought this up so many times, what would the possible point be? But it didn't stop our media and our government from trying to terrorize the American people with the idea of a nuclear exchange with North Korea. They were running drills in California on the announcement that North Korea could reach us with an intercontinental ballistic missile with a nuclear tip on it. They were running drills for the kids to get under their desks. Our entire system, your obedience, is facilitated by fear. You must be scared. And I ask, since I've come on air, when these things pop up, I say, just take me inside. Give me the calculus of a North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il. They've done this under both of them. What would be in their head? They're living a great life, even though it's through complete propaganda and control. North Korea is an abhorrent place to their citizens, but they live a great life. They're worshipped by their people, at least publicly. There is no dissent allowed. They've got a fantastic life. But our government has been trying to tell us for years and years, as I said, it's a rotation, about every 2 or 3 years, they try to stoke this fear in us that North Korea is going to launch a missile. Why would the leader of North Korea just arbitrarily launch a missile that he knows would destroy his way of life that afternoon. It would be over. They would gain absolutely nothing. The North Koreans weren't amassed to come over and take over farmland in California to feed their people. No, we were told by our government, they're just going to arbitrarily launch a nuke. And so we are in a situation where these kinds of threats always are put out there that are just very ridiculous. And so when they don't happen, I think we all get acclimated to the fact that we'll never have a nuclear exchange. See, they've been telling us North Korea was going to do this for forever, and they never do. Well, of course they don't, because it was never a threat in the first place, dummies. They think we're idiots. It doesn't take too much critical thinking to realize that North Korea gains absolutely nothing by lashing out, unless they're threatened. And we've done a pretty good job of threatening them, but not enough to make them think their back was against a wall. But when it comes to this stuff with Russia, I don't know. This seems like the most possible use of nuclear weapons, because what is happening is this is not a battle between Russia and Ukrainian forces. This is a battle between Russia and the Western world. We've not seen anything like this in quite some time. And it's getting more serious for an event that could have been solved in an afternoon, as I keep saying. But the Western powers, they seem to want to push. They could have negotiated autonomy for places in eastern Ukraine long before Russia ever moved an inch into Ukraine militarily. They could have done that. They could have left the government of Ukraine alone in 2014 and not overthrown the government. They could have done that. It would be a complete non-issue right now. Right now, you know what would be happening? Had Obama's State Department not overthrown the government in Ukraine, right now Germans would have all the energy they need from Russia, as would the rest of Europe and Great Britain. The pub owners going out of business because of their high utility bills, that wouldn't be a thing. There wouldn't be Ukrainians dying in the streets in Ukraine. None of these things would have happened. So the West has decided it is going to push Russia. It's bad enough that for 30 years they kept moving NATO closer and closer to Russia. They do operate in long-term plans. But now they have pushed them. We've gone to so much effort to overthrow a government, to arm another country. Now we're sending tens of billions of dollars in weapons over to Ukraine. They've put in all the propaganda effort they could possibly put into it, and now they are they're taking offensives against Russia that is hurting them. And so it appears to me that Russia is basically saying, with this new mobilization of 300,000 new troops, they're basically saying, all right, we tried this kind of piecemeal. We tried to do it to inflict fewer casualties, but take back these parts of Ukraine where the Ukrainian government, the Nazis in the Ukrainian government, were actually murdering ethnic Russians. We've tried to just do that and not much more. That's over. Obviously, you're not going to allow that to happen. Russia had secured these areas of ethnic Russians, and the Ukrainians just in the past couple of weeks made a move on that and took some of that territory back. So it's gloves off now. So I hope there's no nuclear war, but Biden warns Putin, don't change face of war using nuclear or chemical weapons in Ukraine. Now, what this sounds like to me is them getting ready to unleash, as a false flag, a chemical or a nuclear weapon to blame on Putin. This is Joe Biden. It's one of these things where, you know, they know what would really outrage the world. That would be Russia using a nuclear or chemical weapon. Joe Biden said, this was a couple of weeks ago. This might have been in this more recent 60 Minutes thing. I've not seen the full interview on 60 Minutes. I need to. It probably makes some good show content. But Biden says to Vladimir Putin, don't. You will change the face of war unlike anything since World War II. Yet the problem is that Russia has been very, very open about what they would possibly use nuclear weapons for. Moscow has reiterated that its nuclear doctrine is self-explanatory, with top Russian officials repeatedly stating that the conflict in Ukraine does not meet any of its criteria. The statement followed U.S. President Joe Biden's threat of a harsh, consequential response should Russia use weapons of mass destruction. Quote, read the doctrine. Everything is written there. This is what Kremlin Press Secretary Dmitry Peskov told RIA Novosky on Saturday when asked about the possibility of Russia using nuclear weapons in Ukraine. According to Russia's nuclear posture, Moscow reserves the right to use atomic weapons only, quote, in response to the use of nuclear and other weapons of mass destruction against Russia or its allies, as well as, quote, in response to a conventional attack that threatens the very existence of Russia as a sovereign state. And understand that the people who are running this war over in Ukraine, in NATO and here in the U.S., they want to end Russia. They want to be a threat to Russia. Russia is very clear about this. We're not going to go out there and start using nuclear weapons unless you threaten Russia. And the military moves that have been made in Ukraine right now are threatening Russia itself, Russian borders. Now, there's people who might say, well, they brought it on themselves. They started a war in Ukraine. The fact that they're fighting back. The fact is that this never needed to happen. This all could have been negotiated away, and we were very close to having that happen. If I see a nuclear exchange go on over there, my first sense will be to see if the West did not provoke it. Either force it to happen on Russia's side, or maybe we launch one on ourselves just to blame him. Be on guard for that. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, we take a look at natural health topics on Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I start off every show by explaining to you I am not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a vaccinologist, an immunologist, a virologist, a surgeon, a nurse, a therapist. I'm nothing. I'm not certified to advise you in your health in any way, shape, or form. I'm just somebody who reclaimed my health about 17 years ago, and I want to spread the good news that your health fate is in your own hands, not in the boardroom of Pfizer or Merck. Today's show and all shows this week have been powered exclusively by meat. I have gone full on carnivore this week. That is a zero-carb diet. It's quite interesting. I got a big order from Stonington Farms down in Perkiston, Mississippi. They have full grass-fed, grass-finished, no hormones, no antibiotics, Mississippi-born, raised, and processed meat. So I'm getting the highest nutritional profile I can out of my meat, and I have no grocery shopping to do. This is actually, I used to stop by the grocery store and go to the gym, and then I've got a store right next to the gym. I'd stop in and get whatever I was going to eat for the day. No more of that. I've got a fridge and a freezer full of nothing but meat and eggs, basically, at this point. Or I'll probably throw in some fish. I may have to stop and get some good quality salmon or something to add a little variety. But right now, I've just got briskets and ribeyes and chuck eye steaks and a ton of eggs, too. So this is going to be interesting. I've just started doing this. I tested myself this morning. I'm in full ketosis, means I'm burning fat for fuel rather than carbs. But while I've done keto before, which is keeping carbs at a minimum, this is a zero-carb way of eating. Now, I've got a clip here. This is a dietitian took to one of the social medias to denounce the carnivore diet, and there was a response to it that I thought, well, it's a short clip, and I thought it was kind of interesting, and we'll talk a little bit about nutritionists and dietitians here in modern times.
Okay, so this carnivore literally just had steak all day long, I think with some butter, some salt, maybe a bit of cheese in there, and maybe some milk. Not sure how you wouldn't get bored of that. Like an occasional beef meal is fine, but this is not a sustainable diet. Definitely not for the environment, but also not great for your health. Folks, variety's the spice of life.
I've been doing the carnivore diet since December 2017. It's 100% sustainable, and most people on it aren't on it for fun. Yeah, variety's the spice of life, not if it causes you autoimmunity or severe depression. Then variety is not the spice of life. And everyone who's commenting on the carnivore diet, I would like them to try it for 3 months before being the dietitian versus carnivore. Like, what do dietitians teach people? To follow the food pyramid, which has just made everybody in America fat? Don't go to a dietitian unless you want to follow the food pyramid and get fat.
And really, that is very succinct and true. This is always interesting to me. There's a lot of dietitians, nutritionists out there. These are the people who actually, a lot of times, plan the food for patients in hospitals. This is a big place where they are hired. They're the ones that design school lunches. I ask you to take a look at pictures of school kids from 1968 and compare it to 2022 and see if maybe we're doing our children a disservice when you look at the physical health of our children. But these nutritionists and dietitians are the ones that are trained to tell people to eat their carbs like their whole grains. They ignore the chemicals in food. They ignore things like hormones and antibiotics and herbicides and all these kinds of things. And for 50 years, the past 50 years, dietitians and nutritionists that are largely, not all of them, there's some fantastic ones out there. Many of them have been trained kind of in the same way the medical establishment's been trained, which is just to take the, you know, doctors now take everything that the CDC and the FDA says and do not bother to question it. Many of them intellectually captured by these agencies. Some of them just scared for their jobs, so they don't question them. Nutritionists are the same way. They take the USDA guidelines, the food pyramid that is actually upside down, and they've been prescribing this to people for years and years. As I say again, you know, the arrogance that comes out of dietitians and nutritionists, the arrogance that comes out of the medical establishment, I don't think is well warranted. If you look at the health of the average American these days, seems like something's going wrong. Maybe you could take it the cocky level down just a tad bit before you pass judgment on everybody. Now, I will say carnivore is odd. I had heard about it probably a couple of years ago, people doing this, and started looking at it. I thought it might be too hard to do, and I didn't look enough into the science around it before I attempted it. But I've done a lot of that research over the past couple of months, and so now I'm trying it. It's just an experiment. We'll see. It might not work well for me. We're all different. But this is my weird, weird hobby, which is kind of hacking my biology, so we'll see how it works. I ran across a doctor. His name is Dr. Paul Mason. And this is in a much longer hour-and-a-half interview, but I had a couple of clips from him. This is a medical doctor, and I always like to bring medical doctors on to talk a little bit about their training, about the medical system themselves. These are doctors who have taken it upon themselves to not just trust the FDA and the CDC and the USDA. They actually do their own research. Now, this guy is actually Australian. But apparently, from listening to him, the Australian medical system, and I would imagine most Western medical systems and things like nutrition, the way they're taught, are kind of the same. They've been bought out by corporate interest, by big food organizations. So obviously his experience is very similar to ours. So I wanted to talk a little bit. This first part is about de-prescribing medications. You would think that a medication, and some of them have been valuable for people. If you're in a crisis, sometimes a medication might save your life. But what we've come to in this country, and it sounds like maybe in Australia as well, we've come to a point of we're going to give you this pill and you're going to be on it for the rest of your life. Because they don't ever dig down to find out what's causing the problem that you're having. They're just treating that symptom with that pill. And when the underlying problem persists, more things start breaking down, manifesting in new conditions. And what do? They give you a pill for that new symptom that you have. And what this doctor's talking about is, doesn't it seem to make some logical sense that maybe we should be training our physicians to use pharmaceutical interventions when they're necessary, but with a focus on being a temporary fix, not a forever drug?
One of these amazing new age doctors that instead of writing a prescription actually write you some dietary framework, perhaps.
Well, exactly. So we prescribe dietary advice, and I probably just to reflect on your comment on writing a prescription. In medical school, we're taught how to write prescriptions. Mm. We're taught, you know, here's what drug you use for what condition. This is the starting dose. If that's not effective, you increase it to this. We know this very well. What we're not taught, and what was one of the biggest conceptual challenges for me when I first started practicing medicine like this, is de-prescribing, taking people off medications.
Mm.
So if we take somebody, as I said, high blood pressure is one of the features of metabolic syndrome, a patient might come in and they might have normal blood pressure, but they might be on three different medications designed to lower the blood pressure. So then what happens if we start correcting the underlying cause of their high blood pressure, and they're still on these three agents. Well, we know what happens. They'll probably faint. They'll feel dizzy. They'll feel lousy because it's like you took a normal person with normal blood pressure and just put them on a bunch of medications to drop their blood pressure. So then the art is then, well, how do you know which medication to reduce first and how much, you know, if you reduce it too quickly, is that going to cause a problem? It's exactly the same in a diabetic who needs to inject insulin. If I put somebody who's on a standard Australian diet, the SAD diet.
SAD diet, I love that.
And I put them overnight on a strict low-carb diet, then I actually need to reduce their insulin dose in the vicinity of 50%. Otherwise, they'll have what we call a hypoglycemic event where because of the injected insulin, their blood sugar will go too low, and that could put them in a coma. That could even kill them. So this whole element of deprescribing is actually it wasn't touched on at all in medical school.
So there you go. And we know from our personal experience, I mean, people who you go in, your blood cholesterol levels are a level that concerns your doctor. He puts you on a statin. End of conversation. You're on statins for the rest of your life. Same for blood pressure medication. Because it's never revisited what actually is causing the problem in the first place. It's just whatever you're doing, it's causing high blood pressure. We got a pill for that. And then the pill is prescribed and that's the end of the conversation. You're on that pill for the rest of your life. A medical system that is out to help its people correct problems that they're having with their health would be all about, well, we got to get your blood pressure down. We're going to use this medication, but then we're going to get right to the source of this. We're going to figure out what's causing that high blood pressure so that we can get you back off this medication, because every medication has got side effects, has got downsides to it, risks. We're going to get you off this medication as quick as humanly possible. That would be an honest medical system. It's just not profitable. I'm going to take a quick break and come back, and he's going to talk a little bit. This doctor does talk about carnivore. This is how he came across my feed. You know what happens when you start searching certain things on YouTube. The algorithm kicks in, and you are just barraged with a bunch of information on carnivore. So this guy, Dr. Paul Mason from Australia, he is talking about the carnivore diet. One of the things that's brought up in the way people look at me when I tell them what I'm doing, they're, oh, what about your cholesterol? Well, we're going to let Dr. Paul Mason discuss the idea of the cholesterol problem. When you're eating a ton of meat, you know, cholesterol is what protects your brain. Cholesterol is so important in the human body, and most people don't know that. We'll talk about that when we come back. I've done shows before on statins, the problems with prolonged use of statins. One of the most popular. These are your Lipitors of the world. It's one of the most profitable drugs Big Pharma has out. It's one of the most commonly prescribed medications out there. I've done shows on statins before. If you're taking statins, you might want to look into some of the problems it may cause you long term. But cholesterol is almost like the sun, according to our medical profession. They've convinced us that the sun is a glowing orb of death in the sky and we must run away from it. And now we've got people that are about 75% chronically deficient in vitamin D. Statins and cholesterol is the same thing. They have demonized cholesterol and people do not understand how important cholesterol is to a well-functioning body. One of the things that people certainly ask when I've talked about carnivore or even keto, because keto is a very heavy fat, saturated fat, fat from meat, fat from avocados, fat from coconuts. So a lot of people always ask, well, what about your cholesterol? Because we've been trained to believe that high cholesterol levels are just a danger. This is another big swing and a miss by medical establishment.
Let's talk about cholesterol in terms of cholesterol in general, but also the correlation between meat consumption and cholesterol.
Well, I mean, cholesterol is a molecule that's essential for life. So first of all, if you actually ask the average doctor what cholesterol is, they will not be able to tell you.
What?
In medical school, I got through a whole medical degree and I did pretty well. I got honours.
Mm.
And I honestly could not have told you what cholesterol was at the end of it. I could.
Now, that's always important to bring up. God love good doctors out there. but they've got to understand that they've not been trained in a very vital part of human health, which is nutrition and the working of the body. They are taught about symptoms. I would imagine there's some grids there. Here's the symptom. What drug do we give? And they don't actually have any training. I've had several MDs on this show who have said, I practiced for 20 or 30 years. My patients kept getting sicker. I'd never been trained about nutrition back in medical school. So this is not a unique story for Australia. This is happening here in the U.S. as well.
I could tell you all of, I could use a nomenclature. I could say HDL, LDL ratios, ApoA1, ApoB, etc. I could talk the talk.
Mm.
But I honestly didn't have a good conceptual understanding of what it was. So let's talk about what is cholesterol. It's a small molecule. It is essential for life. Every cell has it. It's so important that if you don't eat it, the body will make it. If you do not have any cholesterol, you will die. So that's what cholesterol is. Now, what doctors call cholesterol are very complex particles. Think of them like a submarine that circles around inside your blood, and they carry cholesterol inside. Now, if you've ever poured some water inside a frying pan that's got a bit of fat in it, you'll see how the fat forms globules.
Yeah.
So fat, that's what fat does. And fat can't move around the circulation as a globule. It's got to be broken up into smaller particles. So this is why we need these particles, and we call them lipoproteins, which will actually carry the cholesterol around the body. Now, the one that we talk about as being dangerous is called an LDL, a low-density lipoprotein. Now, for some reason, I'll tell you why, we associate high levels of LDL with heart disease. And this comes back to a guy called Ansel Keys, and he developed what he called the lipid-heart hypothesis. And he postulated that higher levels of saturated fat in the body could actually then lead to deposition inside the arteries. And his model was developed from rabbits, an herbivore, an animal which has absolutely no capacity for, protein and fats in their diet. So what did they feed these rabbits? Well, saturated fat, and they fed them saturated fat, and somehow they thought that you could translate an herbivore's experience and physiology to a human. So it's basically utterly bad science.
Yep.
But if you subscribe to this theory that saturated fat is then bad, we also have made the observation that saturated fat can increase the amount of circulating LDL. So if you accept the premise saturated fat is bad, then you must also accept the premise that LDL, high levels of LDL, is also bad.
Mm.
Now, unfortunately, the very first premise was wrong, so the second premise is also wrong. And the most recent meta-analysis that looked at 19 separate studies looking at all-cause mortality, so your chance of dying and your LDL levels, they actually found in 16 of them that there was an inverse relationship. That is, the higher your LDL level, the longer you lived.
Okay.
So, I mean, if that doesn't...
I live a long time.
If that doesn't immediately make you suspicious of our fear of LDL, then I don't know what will.
So there you go. You know, this, for a profession that has spent the last 2.5 years telling us to follow the science, I got to tell you, follow good science might be a qualifier in there. Maybe we should throw in good science. Good luck taking on your MD when you talk about cholesterol. A lot of money is made off of statins, and the medical establishment has gone all in with this cholesterol level thing. I'll probably do more on that as I continue to do carnivore, because God knows I'm sure my cholesterol is going to go up, but the good cholesterol is going to go up too. It's a balance of the two. I don't have time to get into all of that, but this idea that we're choking off cholesterol to people, I got to tell you, when I see the rise in Alzheimer's cases, this is a brain disease, and we know that cholesterol is very important in the brain. Your brain is about 2/3 fat. I think we're starving the American brain. I don't think the statins are doing any doing us any favors there either. I wanted to get into this real quick. This was very interesting. This was clickbait headline for me on Stat News. This is a... And this is a pretty kind of a medical journal, an establishment medical journal. And this headline said, "Food is medicine. Interventions should be the main course at White House Nutrition Conference." Now, of course, this is right up my alley. Absolutely. Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. This was written by a Dariush Mozafarian and David Waters. They go into saying much of the public's perceptions around food as an intervention for health are dated. So are the U.S. government's perceptions and its health care policies, not by a matter of years, but by decades. The last time the nation focused on food from the top was 1969. That was the White House Conference on Food, Nutrition, and Health. Among the important programs that were created or improved based on findings from that landmark summit are what today are called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that's the SNAP, Women, Infants, and Children, the WIC program, school breakfast and lunch programs, the National Approach to Eating Dietary Guidelines, and the now ubiquitous Nutrition Facts label. Without a doubt, these programs have fed those in need, saved lives, and improved the overall health of Americans. So by the time I got into that part, I was like, what? This story goes on to say, but we face a new reality in the 21st century. Poor diets are a leading cause of death, contributing to high rates of heart disease, diabetes, and some cancers. About 50% of U.S. adults have diabetes or pre-diabetes. 75% are overweight or obese, and more than 90% are not in ideal cardiometabolic health. Among U.S. teens, 25% have diabetes or pre-diabetes, and the same percentage is overweight or obese. So, yeah, these statistics are shocking. I would say this is a result of this 1969 White House Conference on Food, Nutrition, and Health, where they have made all of these recommendations, and this is where it's landed us. So I started to get a little suspicious of this story as I read through it. And basically, this is another story. The government needs to just come out and give us some new nutritional guidelines. The last ones were so successful that we need to do it again, using food as medicine. So let me tie this together for you. One of the authors of this food as medicine story I just read from is Dariush Mozafarian. And it turns out Dariush Mozafarian is Joe Biden's new public health nutrition advisor. And he has put out something new called the Food Compass that I've touched on this show before. Let me tell you what this guy who says food is your medicine. And so if you just listen to him and use the right foods, you'll be much healthier. Let's see what Dr. Dariush Mozafarian, I guess I should include the fact he is a doctor. Dr. Dariush Mozafarian has put together this Food Compass. Let's take a look at the foods he recommends and what he says to stay away from. He's got watermelon and kale as two of the top on here. The number three food that has one of the highest ratings in his Food Compass is frosted mini wheats. Watermelon, kale, frosted mini wheats. Then he goes into unsweetened almond milk, non-fat frozen yogurt. Of course, fat. Stay away from the fat. The next one, chocolate-covered almonds. Then orange juice with calcium. And then Honey Nut Cheerios. Now, he gets into some of the things that are not good for you, the things that you should just consume in moderation. And these things are like sweet potato fries or chips. This comes in right underneath dates and Honey Nut Cheerios. You can eat egg substitutes, but a whole egg fried in butter is way down the chart. Have an egg substitute in vegetable oil, known to be wildly inflammatory. This thing is absolutely amazing. This was published, this new food food compass was published in the Nature Journal and is now going to be, this is Joe Biden's White House guy on nutrition. This story about it says, soak in the idiocy. Per the rankings, Honey Nut Cheerios is a healthy alternative to a boiled egg. Almond M&Ms is a superior nutritional choice to ground beef. This is the new nutritional guidelines coming out. When they tell you food should be your medicine, according to this guy, he thinks your medicine is going to be frosted mini wheats, chocolate-covered almonds, and Lucky Charms. Lucky Charms is listed on this Food Compass as better for you than whole milk, a whole egg fried in butter, cheddar cheese, and way down at the bottom, all in red, to be minimized, ground beef. This guy in charge of White House nutritional policy believes that ground beef is more dangerous to you and should be minimized while you should load up on Lucky Charms. His ranking for Lucky Charms is a little bit better than 2 times as good as ground beef. So I'm telling you, if you're not willing to take your health into your own hands, you're going to be in big, big trouble. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show. We're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. We do it every Wednesday. If you are interested by anything on this show or want to share it with anybody, you can either share the podcast. Just go out and search for The Mike Madison Show. You can just tell them, listen to the second hour. If someone's not interested in politics or my libertarian take on things, then you can just take them to the health stuff. Or if you want my resources on anything that I cover, because I can't cover entire stories here on the air, you can always email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I can send you links to anything I covered or my show notes in total. I will tell you, as I transition, you know, doing carnivore, this is zero carbs, zero sugar, no nothing. It's just it's meat. It's animal products. Sorry, PETA. I love animals. Nobody loves animals better than me, but I also know that we are designed to eat animals just as many animals are designed to eat other animals, so apologies to PETA. But as I do this, the transition, I've got a little bit of a headache, like a left temple headache a little bit. I'm not feeling my absolute best. This will happen if you change your diet, particularly if you cut out sugar. And I've had some sugar in the past few weeks, knowing I was going to make this transition. I'm always bad about that. I'm like, well, I'm about to switch over into doing something that may be pretty healthy for me, so I can indulge a little bit now. Well, now I think I am withdrawing from sugar and carbs. So I do it. It's just a dull little headache, not a big deal. But if you do anything and you change your diet immediately, you might not feel great. They call this a healing crisis. There are ways to minimize it, but it may happen. Don't think that eating better is not helping you. You just have got, your body is, it's like drugs, particularly sugar. It's like a drug. You're going to detox from it. You are going to have some withdrawal symptoms from it. So this is, I knew it would happen. I always soldier through, so it wasn't a big deal to me. I want to talk a little bit about leaky gut. I've got some stuff on that. I've got some friends who have suffered from autoimmune disorders. And one of the things that I think is really at the root cause of this is a lot of leaky gut. And we're going to get into a little bit of that today. I'll read a little bit on it. There was a question online as I was researching this. I wanted to know how many people have leaky gut. This question was asked online, and a Dr. Lisa Hart responded. She said, "That's a tricky question because we're not commonly taught about, quote, leaky gut, unquote, in allopathic medical training." What a shock. This is another doctor saying, we're not trained about your gut when we go through medical school. Now, she goes on to say, so it is not a common diagnosis. It's a very common condition, in my opinion, as an MD with certification in functional medicine. There's current research at Harvard by Dr. Alessio Fasano around this, so it should be more and more recognized by all physicians in the coming years. Well, if you don't want to wait years and you're suffering from either some autoimmune issues or just general health issues, you may want to start looking at ways to heal what could be a leaky gut. Another story said an estimated 60 to 70 million Americans are affected by digestive conditions, according to the National Institutes of Health. One of the most prevalent digestive disorders, and not a disease, is a condition called leaky gut syndrome, also known as intestinal permeability. Leaky gut syndrome can have a direct impact on your overall health. It's been linked to a myriad of health issues ranging from general intestinal symptoms such as occasional constipation, gas, and bloating to more symptoms related to mood. Many likely culprits of leaky gut syndrome can be linked to an unhealthy diet, stress, and environmental toxins. As the medical community continues to learn more about leaky gut, it becomes more apparent that millions of Americans might be suffering from this condition. You may be asking yourself, how do I know if I have leaky gut? So we're going to take a look. Got a couple of clips here. This first one is from a Dr. Gundry, where he explains a little bit about it.
Hi, Dr. Stephen Gundry here. You may have heard people in the health world talking about something called leaky gut. It's a very hot topic right now, but there seems to be some confusion about what it is. So let me clear things up right now by showing you exactly what leaky gut is, how it happens, and how to prevent it. You see, when you eat food, it goes down to your stomach to get broken down. This process unlocks the nutrients in the food. And then the broken down food travels to your gut, where the unlocked nutrients get absorbed through the intestinal wall. But there's other stuff in the food that shouldn't get absorbed, such as pathogens, contaminants, and other bad stuff you don't want in your body. This is where your gut lining comes in. Also known as your intestinal epithelium, this lining acts as a filter, letting good stuff through and keeping bad stuff out. But when your gut lining gets weak, which happens on many modern diets, little holes start forming in the lining and bad stuff gets through. Kind of like this.
He goes on to do a visual representation, which is not conducive to radio, so we'll skip ahead a bit here.
Now, the stuff that makes it through these holes triggers a cascade of unhealthy immune activity in your body. The result is serious damage to your health on all fronts. Digestive trouble, heart problems, faster aging, weight gain, you name it. Countless health conditions can be traced back to leaky gut. So how do you prevent it? Well, what modern diets are often missing is a special kind of fiber.
Well, he gets into something that he prescribes for, but I want to move on. I want to take a I'm not taking anything away from you how to fix it. We're going to look at how to fix it in just a second. I'm going to take a break and then come back with a news story about a woman. And the sad thing about these kinds of things is, you know, the medical community, now we've already got doctors saying, look, we weren't trained in this. We don't know anything about leaky gut. It's suspected that maybe 60 or 70 million Americans are having health problems because, and if you understand, if there's little holes in your gut, that means bad little things are getting into your bloodstream and traveling all throughout your body. I mean, once that happens, it doesn't. Who knows where they end up and what they cause? And so one of the things that seems like it should be a focus is to make sure that our gut is good and sealed so we're not getting bad things into our bloodstream. It just seems to me, and I'm not a doctor, I profess this every week, I don't want crap traveling all through my body just looking for a place to cause problems. So you want to keep this stuff in your gut. A lot of people with carnivore, you'll see if you research it at all, a lot of people have solved autoimmune problems through the carnivore diet. And one of the reasons for that is that you are not ingesting these other foods. It's not the standard American diet, and a carnivore diet and other diets as well. You do not have to go carnivore to fix your gut by any way, shape, or form, but you need to cut out the garbage that's damaging your gut in the first place. So a lot of people have healed autoimmune disorders after suffering from them for 10, 20, 30 years. Doctors unable to figure out what is causing all the problems there. They're just now coming around to leaky gut. I'm telling you, alternative health, natural health people, they've been pointing to this for quite a period of time. If you've got health issues, this is really something you should definitely be doing research in. And here's the beautiful thing. If your problem is not leaky gut, if you don't suffer this problem, but you uptake a better diet, something that supports your gut lining, then even the side effects of doing that are all good. You'll end up healthier. Even if leaky gut isn't your thing, if that wasn't the problem, you will still dramatically improve your health by repairing your gut and your gut lining. So this is one of those things where when you do these kinds of experiments, that may not have been your issue. But you'll still be healthier, and it'll probably make it easier for you to combat the issue that you do have as you continue to search through. You can't rely on the medical community to diagnose you properly for the cause of your problems, unfortunately. When I get back, we're going to talk about this story. This is just a very interesting news story about leaky gut, in particular autoimmune disease, and it takes a girl through her journey in repairing herself. Be right back. From all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling. I do not typically check my email during breaks, but I did today, and I'm glad I did. Bill had sent in an email saying he had done keto, lost a ton of weight on it, but it was eating heavy meats and ended up with his first bout of kidney stones. I have heard this as a concern, and I am going to research that. As a matter of fact, someone mentioned it to me last night, so I'm going to take a look at this as well. I believe kidney stones is probably a nutritional deficiency like anything else, but it is something to consider. I do not want kidney stones. Never had one. Sounds horrific. So, trust me, I'm going to try to avoid those. So between now and next week, I will do a little research on high meat, high protein diet. I eat a lot of fat. I would imagine maybe the fat can mitigate the risk of kidney stones, but I do not know. I am not certified in any way to tell anybody what to do with their health, but it's definitely a topic worth looking into. Thank you, Bill, for mentioning that to me, and we'll do a report on it next week. This is When It Comes to Leaky Gut. This was a news story I ran across that I thought was pretty interesting.
Our immune system keeps us healthy by attacking invaders like viruses. One problem, however, is our immune system can misfire and attack healthy tissue. That can lead to one of more than 100 disorders like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, and multiple sclerosis.
Many people don't even realize they have an autoimmune disease, assuming instead that their difficulty concentrating, abdominal pain, or fatigue are just a part of regular life. Other symptoms include feeling cold much of the time or having a rapid heartbeat.
When doctors diagnosed Sierra Valinga with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, they told her the same thing millions of others with autoimmune issues hear.
It was just always, oh, take this pill and you'll for the rest of your life, and that's all we can do for you. You're incurable, and you have a disease.
Cha-ching.
Sierra didn't believe the medication helped.
I was having physical symptoms, like my hair was falling out. I was very puffy-faced and joint pain. I had tons of sinus issues, which they just either said it was allergies or a sinus infection. So they'd put me on antibiotics and send me on my way.
Then she heard about Dr. Amy Myers, one of a growing number of autoimmune specialists who believe drugs often make matters worse.
No.
Many of them have the side effects of decreased immune system and getting infections, even leading to lymphomas and cancers.
Dr. Myers prescribes a clean diet to prevent and possibly reverse autoimmune disorders.
That means that somebody's symptoms can go away, their joint pain can go away, their muscle aches and pains can go away. They can get off these very harsh medications. And I see that day in and day out.
Sierra followed this route and after 6 months regained her health.
So far, it's worked great. I've never felt better since I can remember. I didn't realize that I could get my brain back working where it's firing. My hair is the longest it's ever been. I can't even get a manicure because my nails grow so quickly that my fingernail polish is grown out in about a week.
Dr. Myers believes autoimmune diseases stem from a condition called leaky gut.
Nearly 80% of our immune system is in our gut. And if we have an autoimmune disease, it's a problem with our immune system.
A leaky gut means large openings form along the intestinal walls, allowing big particles to escape that shouldn't. The immune system recognizes the particles as foreign and attacks them, as well as healthy tissue they resemble. Myers says a leaky gut comes from eating too much processed food, sugar, dairy, and gluten, which is in wheat.
So gluten, everybody's thinking, oh, this is just a fad. This is such hype. How in the world can gluten be bad? It's the bread of life. We've been eating it forever. Well, the bread that we're eating now is not the bread that we've been eating forever.
That's because scientists have hybridized wheat over the years. Today's crop produces a higher yield, but contains more gluten. Our once wholesome cheese isn't the same either.
We have overprocessed our dairy. We're using different cows than our great-great-grandparents did. We're using a lot of growth hormone, antibiotics.
Too much sugar causes inflammation.
I mean, everything really boils down to inflammation. I mean, even these days with the cardiologist, a heart attack, they now know, is an inflammatory process. Dementia and Alzheimer's, inflammatory process. And of course, we have autoimmune diseases, which are an inflammatory process. What's really creating that inflammation? A lot of research is going towards carbs these days and simple sugars.
Dr. Myers recommends avoiding gluten, dairy, sugar, and processed foods to heal the gut and reverse autoimmune disease. Correcting the problem usually involves cooking at home from scratch.
In an ideal world, we would all be eating, I believe, like our ancestors. So eating pasture-raised meats, grass-fed meats, fish, vegetables, fruit, more of a paleo diet.
I have been making lots of wraps, using lettuce as a wrap.
Dr. Myers provides many healthy recipes in her book, such as coconut cream berry parfait, Brussels sprouts with dark cherries, and crispy coconut shrimp.
I don't want gluten. I don't crave milkshakes like I used to.
So one way to guard against or treat any number of autoimmune diseases is to consider an anti-inflammatory diet like the Paleo Plan, rich in vegetables and healthy fats, minus the processed foods, sugar, dairy, and wheat.
Now, I know when people hear that list of stuff that you can't have, a lot of people think, man, it sure is simpler to take a pill. You know, and if the pills worked, I don't know I'd even be doing the show. But you hear this girl recount all the medications that they put her on for autoimmune disease. She felt worse. Her hair was falling out. She had a puffy face, and you can't see her, but she's a very attractive young lady. So the side effects from these things make it a no-go. Also, one thing to think about when you do repair your gut, it can take a little bit of abuse. So if you can repair your gut, that doesn't mean that you're going to live the rest of your life never eating another piece of bread, never eating this, never eating that. If you can build a more resilient system, then occasionally you can splurge. But the bottom line, I mean, to me, and maybe this isn't the same for everybody else, I want to go through my days feeling good. I really do. And I'm getting older. I want to age as slow as possible. I think that's probably, I'm not unique there. So I think it's worth it, and these pills and the problems that they cause, there is just a better way, and as you heard that woman say, it's through your diet. Your diet is causing the problems. The beautiful thing is that your diet can actually fix the problems as well. It's a tad bit more work than a pharmaceutical, but I think well worth it. That's all the time I got today. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.